Episode 310.
Well, first and foremost, let me back up a little bit. You said if I got 4,000 people in my database that I've done business with over the years, that those are my customers. I'm going to tell you they're not your customers. The overwhelming majority of them are somebody else's customer right now.
Welcome, aftermarketers, to Remarkable Results Radio. Listen to learn just one thing from today's episode on your journey to remarkable results. Welcome, friends and aftermarketers throughout North America and around the world. Carm Capriotto here with the Aftermarket's Premier Talk Radio Podcast. Hey, in this episode, we're going to talk about the need for customers. It's a fact. Without customers, you have no business. Ron Ipack and I are going to discuss some tactics behind marketing to customers you already know. Hey, so glad to have Federal Mogul Motor Parts as a supporter and sponsor of the podcast. Are you looking for serious technical training and support? Online, on-site, and on-demand? Garage Gurus is everything you need to know. Find out more at fmgarageguruz.com. A few engagement tips for you. Join the podcast social network like Facebook, Twitter, and LinkedIn, and join the free Insider Newsletter Brigade. Find the links you're looking for at remarkableresults.biz/social. And the network of connected listeners builds every week, and I'm honored to have new Facebook friends Glenn McMillan, Zach Beckenhauer, James Heatha Gowers, Jerry Morton, and Sammy Siddiqui. And my latest LinkedIn connections, Nicole Barker, Jay Woodford, and Ross Colcat. Hopefully I got your names right. See the show notes page for this episode with Ron Ipack at remarkableresults.biz/E310. The Cliff Notes and Ron's bio are there. How many of you like marketing? Does it conjure up the feel of nails on a chalkboard or the squeak of markers on a whiteboard or even the dentist's drill? Well, one of the most important jobs of a service professional CEO is to be a marketer, to make the phone ring. Ready to learn about a few great tactics to be a better marketer or even just to walk away after the listen with a few really good ideas? Well, Ron Ipack, who was nicknamed by a customer as Captain Card Count, brings his passion for marketing to you. He does have some very simple strategies on how to create business from the customers you've already served. You'll hear some very profound stats on the number of messages we are bombarded by each day and how you can get through the clutter of emails, texts, ads, and social media and market to your customer. Ron's got a simple message to share. Pay more attention to the people you've done business with in the last year. Get them to move to a more experienced relationship with you than a transactional one. Invite them back into the shop. Good stuff for you, as this episode will give you ideas on how to drive the top line, yes, the sales line, for your business. Enjoy. Hey, a warm welcome to Ron Ipack, President Repair Shop Coach. Hey, how you doing, man?
Fantastic. How are you?
Ron, I got to ask you this question. You've been around the horn a long time. Most techs who start a business are born leaders and finance specialists, aren't they?
Nope.
All righty. Then most techs who start a business must have some specialty. They must be great marketers.
No, I wouldn't say that's it either.
Well, how is it that we don't understand that the job of the CEO is all of that, including what I know you're passionate about, and that is to make the phone ring?
Well, I guess that's kind of where I come in, because that is what I think is by far the most important thing, is getting the phone to ring.
Got it. I'm so loving it. And I think one of the big challenges that we have out there and that I see a lot is people are looking for action, volume, car count. You know anything about car count?
Well, about 17 years ago, one of my clients dubbed me Captain Car Count because I was their superhero that I finally got the phone ringing and got them plenty of car count. So ever since then, I've donned the cape and I've actually kept on to that Captain Car Count name.
I love it. It's talk about getting a nickname and then building a brand around it. I have to tell you, it's great. Now, has Marvel called you at all to kind of do a big movie on you?
I'm actually staying as far under the radar as possible because I got a feeling if Marvel calls me, they're going to be sending me a cease and desist letter. So.
Oh my God, that's true. Yeah, they may say, you know, we've got that in the can, Ron. You can't use that. Oh my God, what a cool idea.
You never know.
So what is a big stumbling block, Ron, that creams to the top, that holds shop owners from achieving the success that they really deserve?
Well, even though we're going to be talking a lot about marketing here, I think first and foremost, I think the shop owner's mind is going to be able to determine the success that they're going to have with everything, including the marketing, because I think it was Henry Ford that said, whether you think you can or think you can't, you're right. And a lot of times, I don't know, there's this self-defeating attitude a lot of people have. They tried something in the past and it kind of bit them in the rear end and said, well, I'm never going to try that again. And they immediately limited their chances of success in that avenue. Now, this goes all across the board, from marketing to being a good leader, to running a good shop, to asking prices at higher than your competitors. All of that, it starts within your mind.
Yeah, we get beaten down.
Yeah.
And we don't want to try after two or three tries.
Mm-hmm. And that's natural. And that's okay.
And it's really because we didn't know what we didn't know.
The unusual thing is, entrepreneurs by nature have a little bit more stick-to-itiveness, easy for me to say, because they fail along the way numerous times. I mean, that's just the natural order of business. But I think after you've matured in this long enough and you've been beaten down so much, you start thinking, well, maybe the success I'm looking for just isn't for me. It's for somebody else. And I can't tell you how many people I come across that are just so close from that massive breakthrough. It's just they won't take that step because they don't think they can do it. And again, it's just a mindset thing. Let's just, get past that, jump outside the comfort zone and see if we can break through that barrier. And that's where it starts.
What's it take to, take that next step? Jump through the barrier.
Be afraid to fail, I guess, is probably the best thing. I mean, think of it this way. When we were all babies, we crawled across the floor and we're looking up and see people walking around. Well, at some point, we had to, go over to the couch and lift ourselves up. Now, did we immediately start running across the floor? Of course not. We fell back down. We did it again. We did it again. We did it again. We banged our head. We banged our butt. And it was painful. Lots of tears. But we stayed at it.
There was a prize, though, Ron. Wasn't there a prize at the end of getting up and walking to the table and picking up the glass ashtray? And dropping it and breaking it into a million pieces.
There's a lot of damage to be done once you became mobile. But we lost that somewhere along the lines. I think people told us no. They told us we can't do this. We proved to ourselves that we couldn't do it because we tried and we failed. And I think after a while, you just get to the point where you just get tired of trying. You get tired of that defeat. Well, the reality is you're going to fail a lot more than you're going to succeed. And that's completely true when it comes to marketing, because marketing is not a perfect science where, whatever you do touches the gold. I mean, everybody can probably, has this same experience where they came up with a marketing idea or a sale or a coupon that was just can't miss. It was so perfect that, you got to be an idiot not to respond. And it fell flat on its face. And then everybody's scratching their heads like, why did that fail? And rather than trying to figure that out, they say, well, I guess nobody responds to marketing these days.
I'm talking with Jonathan Ciccelli, a technical product specialist with Federal Mogul Motor Parts. Now, you're visiting shops every day. So when you put product in the hands of the technicians and service advisors, what are they saying?
Going back to Federal Mogul's long-term presence in the industry, they already know the product, and some of them we don't have to say much about. It's the newer product, the latest innovations that we come out with that just blow people away.
So Jonathan, you take that brand new OEX pad and you put it into the hands of a technician. What happens?
They look at it and are kind of speechless for a couple seconds, and they just can't deny that it's an awesome looking product, and they can't deny that it's going to work fantastic on their vehicles.
Now, another phenomenal product line that is just one of the most iconic brands in the entire industry is Moog. Now, there's a lot going on with Moog.
The newest thing with Moog is going to be, I think, the most important thing to the shops is a newer design ball joint that we created, and that was off of technicians' responses to a boot design.
That's that compression-loaded ball joint with the pre-installed integral dust boot?
Absolutely. And as soon as I pull that out of a box and show a technician or a shop owner, they just were like, this is amazing.
So, Jonathan, would you say that you're a champion for Federal Mogul Motor Parts and all the premium products?
Absolutely.
And a champion for all the training?
I'm very big on training. I've always been in training since I've been in the professional field. So just to come back and support on the other end has just been an awesome experience.
Federal Mogul Motor Parts' Garage Gurus is your go-to source for the vehicle training, technology, and answers you need to keep your next job on track. On site, online, or on demand, the gurus are here to help keep your business and your career on the road to success. Visit fmgarageguru.com. You got my head spinning on a couple of areas, and one of the things that came to my mind was that the science of marketing is constantly moving today. And I think it's almost moving faster than ever. And it's got to be harder for shop owners to attract customers because of that continually moving target.
There's actually a lot of factors that makes it, in a way, harder than ever, because not only are there so many more avenues to get your message out there, we've got text, we've got email, television, radio, Facebook, Twitter, websites, and the list just goes on and on and on. Those are all the vehicles that we can use to get the message out there. But you got to understand the people that you're trying to market to, they're distracted as hell. I mean, they're getting bombarded with all of the emails, the television messages, the billboards, the park benches, the Facebook, Twitter. And just before we were talking, I wanted to get the most accurate number that I could, because this number has always bounced all over the place. But it's between 4 and 10,000 messages a day that the average person sees. That's I honestly think that's way too much, but let's cut it in half. Whether you don't believe the 4 to 10,000, let's just cut it in half. So that's 2 to 5,000 messages. I mean, just check your email. The average person gets 121 emails every single day. So there's 121 of them right there, provided anybody bothers to open their email and look at them.
Now, I want to encourage everyone to unsubscribe to emails that you've signed up for years ago. I do not want anyone to encourage to unsubscribe to Ron or my emails, by the way.
Absolutely.
But
are the only two you want to read.
The only two you want to keep. And you're right. We use them. Is it a comfort zone that we get these and someday I'm going to read them, so I'll throw them in a folder? I mean, why do we do this?
I don't know. As I'm looking at my computer monitor right now, I have 43,352 unread emails.
Shame on you.
So, no. One day, I'm going to take an afternoon and I'm just going to go through all that and I'm going to read every single one and respond to every single question I've ever been asked. that's an exaggeration, but see, we're bombarded so much. So it's even with my own clients. My own clients are they've requested information from me, and it's even difficult to get my message to people that have even paid for the information. So I think everybody's running into this. So, the average shop owner who's got somebody that comes in and spends money there, there's that relationship with, they know, love, and trust them, yet trying to get them to pay attention to their own email or the email or the letter that shows in a mailbox, there's just too much clutter there to break through, or it seems. Now, obviously, we want to give some answers here to figure this out. But that's kind of the big problem, is just you got to understand the distracted society that we're trying to get our marketing message out to these days.
So how do you break through? I mean, that's the key here. You've enticed me. I love what you're saying. I'm a shop owner. How do I break through the clutter?
Easy. Pick your target. Pick your target and target the person that's more likely to see you, want to pay more attention to you. So the most powerful word in the English language is Ron. to me, because that's my name. Karn, that's to you. You know, you can hear that message. You can be in a crowded room and somebody says your name, and above all that noise and all that message, you hear your own name and you turn around and I've captured your attention. That's all I need to do in a busy area. Well, that's what everybody's lives are. So what they're looking for is some familiarity. So if I'm going to send a message to somebody, I want to send a message to somebody that's already predisposed to doing business with me, somebody that already knows, loves, and trusts me, and somebody that I know their name. So first and foremost, if you want to cut through the clutter, choose your battles wisely. And that's the key, is start there. I want you to start looking at pick the low-hanging fruit first. Not try to advertise to the great unwashed masses out there, anybody with a pulse and a set of car keys. I think that's the big number one mistake everybody makes, is they feel that, hey, they're in my area, they have a pulse, they have a car key, you know, they are my customer. Well, I'm going to tell you, they might be your customer down the line, but trying to attract their attention and grab their attention in this distracted society by just simply sending them another one of those 4,000 messages they're seeing every day, it gets lost.
If I'm a shop owner and I've got 4,000 names in my database of people I've worked on over the years, and I make a campaign to reach out to them, I become a clutter in their inbox, though, don't I?
Not really. You know, it's, well, first and foremost, let me back up a little bit. You said if I got 4,000 people in my database that I've done business with over the years, that those are my customers. I'm going to tell you, they're not your customers. The overwhelming majority of them are somebody else's customer right now, because the only person that really matters right now is somebody that has been in your shop within the last, I always say, the last two oil change cycles, or 1 year, whichever comes first. So if somebody's using synthetic, they're coming in once a year. If they've been in your shop in the last year, they're still your customer. If they're on conventional oil and they've gotten their oil changed somewhere else twice, so let's say it's every 4 months. So after 8 months, if they haven't come to you, they're somebody else's customer. They're not yours anymore. Okay. So that's the first and foremost thing. You got to look at the database and see who is a current customer. And I was talking with one of the big software guys that are out there, and they kind of dive in and do some analytics on all of their customers and tens of thousands of customers, shop owners that are using their software. And they told me the average return rate for a client. So if I have somebody that comes into my shop, on average, the shop owner only sees that person 1.2 times per year. Now, you know, and I know, you know, that the average person per car should be in your shop, let's say 3 times. Okay. If it's a newer car, obviously it's a little bit less, but the average car that's out there is, what is it, the 12, 15 years old. Yeah, so yeah, there's a lot of older cars out there. But if the average car should be in your shop, let's say 3 times, and the average household has 2 cars sitting there, that means you have 6 opportunities to do work for them, maintenance, repairs, whatever it is throughout the year. Yet industry average is 1.2 times, and that's it. Because I think everybody does a very poor job in building a relationship with their own clientele, and they're always off looking for the next customer. And that's what makes it much more difficult too, is your marketing people don't know you.
The magic is inside, it seems.
It is. It's like taking candy from a baby compared to all of the other marketing that's out there. Look, if I know, love, and trust you, you've broken over all of the barriers of doing business with me. Because, you know, if you came into the shop and I did the job and I did the job right, okay, that's the basic that I should be doing. Okay, that's the bare minimum. But if I treated you well and I stayed in contact with you, not always, hey, come buy stuff from me, but let's say I send you a nice printed newsletter in the mail every month or so, you develop a little bit more of a relationship. Who am I more likely to choose? The person who doesn't know me from Adam, that doesn't pay attention to me, or the guy who I already know something about, I know, I feel a little bit more comfortable with. I'm not, you know, look, I'm not going to, you know, trust you with my firstborn child, but that's a whole lot better than not knowing you, period. So the chances are stacked in your favor by marketing to people that already know you. And you just got to start really developing the relationship. It's not magic, by the way. Just because somebody's been in your shop in the last year, when you market to them, that's not guaranteed they're going to come back to you. Because, you know, this economy has changed and people are distracted. And, you know, look, a good deal is a good deal. And there's plenty of guys out there offering a good deal. So you're going to sway some people away. But it takes a little bit more to develop a good relationship. But, you know, let's go back to the very beginning when you said, you know, the 4,000 customers, you know, the 4,000 customers, you've had a transaction with them at one point, but only a very small minority of them, maybe 500 of them, again, depending on the size of the shop, 500 are your customers. 3,500 are somebody else's customers. So we also want to make sure that we try to woo them back before we try looking for a new one. Because look, I have a better chance of winning somebody back to me that's been in my shop than trying to get somebody that's never heard of me as well. So again, choose your battles, and then it takes whatever, you know, it's a Herculean effort to get those, let's say, 500 people to pay attention to your message. But I tell you this, you know, let's use direct mail for an example. I know I'm rambling on and on and on.
I love it. Thank you.
You understand, I'm passionate
about
this.
Keep going, baby. Just keep going.
This makes it's so clear to me because I've been doing this for, you know, 20 plus years. You know, when you look at, let's say, direct mail, and I'm a big fan of direct mail because, look, the average shop owner is, what is it, like 62 years old right now? We all know how to take a postcard or a letter and stick a stamp on it and put it in a mailbox. There's no technical ability required for that. So that's something everybody could do. So let's just talk about doing direct mail. I'd rather, if you have 500 active customers, I'd rather you market to them 10 times. Take that small list of 500 and send 10 messages their way, then pick a list of 5,000 people and mail to them once. It's the same expense, the same printing, because you're printing 5,000 pieces, and it's the same postage, but you're hitting the person 10 times, and that's how you cut through the clutter.
Is the reason for the 500 is because you've had an experience with them in a timeline that they're going to remember, and, you know, they're close, they're intimate? Instead of reaching further?
You know, recency has a lot to do with it. You know, I'm just picking, I understand, I'm only picking 500 just as a round number to talk with. Because if I'm going to do math in my head, I want to pick a nice, simple number so I don't look like an idiot.
No problem.
So, and that's easy for me, you know. I was always told a long time ago, never do math in front of an audience without a calculator. So
I agree.
So, you know, again, it's, if everybody would just do themselves a huge favor and just look at the data they already have. Now, some you might be on an older system and might be difficult, but a lot of the systems make it pretty easy. Just pull a list of everybody that's been in your shop in the last year, and that is your bread and butter. That right alone, if you just start marketing to them, you could double your car count.
Data is it, by the way, in just about every area of our industry, top to bottom, manufacturing to the service professional. It comes up all the time in discussions that I have. And if you can manipulate it and understand it and appreciate it, formulate it, you know, like it's like a piece of clay. You got to work it. And I love what you said. Hey, just go back, look at the people that have had, you know, maybe you're doing a tire program, who's bought in tires from me, you know, a year or two ago. I mean, it's easy, I guess, to build a file, a target list.
And the big thing is the numbers don't lie. See, I can tell you all day long that you've got 4,000 people in your database, but you don't have 4,000 active customers. And you're going to say, nah, no, I remember, I see people all the time, but when you actually pull the numbers, you know, just make sure you have a nice bottle of wine or a shot of whiskey near you or a nice adult beverage near you, because you're going to need it, because you're going to be very, very disappointed in how many people are actually doing that. So let's put it this way. Here's the magic of marketing to your own database. See, like I said, the average is 1.2 visits per person. Let's say, and you have 500 active customers. Let's just, again, round numbers here. You have 500 active customers. what our goal should be is to get at least one more visit from each and every one of those 500 customers on average. That's all we want to do. Let's just take it down to something really simple. We don't have to get super technical with all this technological whiz bang cool stuff. Let's just make things simple and easy to start with. So we've got 500 people that we've done business with. We already know they're not coming back to our shop as often as they should. So do you think we could possibly, if we paid more attention to them with a good solid offer, we did whatever it takes to become more transactional away from the transactional and more into the experience with them. So develop a great relationship. If you can get them to come back one more time, we just added 500 more visits to your shop over the next year. But you might be saying, well, some people move, they buy new cars, things like that. So, okay. So let's just one thing. Let's just develop a relationship with our current clients and try to get them back in the door. Now, when that happens, you're going to have either get the same car in the door one more time, which you're only getting 1.2 times, get that car in one more time, or get the other car that's sitting in the driveway right now, get them to bring that one in. Okay. And you might say, well, but you know, they already are taking that shot, or maybe it's a newer car. Okay. Well, again, by developing a kick-ass relationship with them, can I say ass?
Sure you can.
Okay.
It's okay.
We're going to get some referrals out of them. So there are three ways that you can take those 500 people and turn them into 500 more visits. Develop a relationship, invite them back in, give them a reason to come back, and they're either going to bring in the car you worked on before one more time, bring the other car that's in their driveway one time, or refer you. So on average, that's how we take 500 customers and get 500 more visits this year than you did last year. Simple, easy. And you already, the cool thing about this, and this gets me excited, you already know who they are. You know what their buying habits are. You keep out the bottom feeders, the people that just never seem to want to buy anything from you, you know, upsells or really maintain. They just want an oil, cheap oil change. You know that about them. So don't invite them back in the door. But see, when you're advertising to the great unwashed masses, to everybody, you keep inviting the same people you don't like seeing back again and again and again. So get rid of the people you don't want, market to the people you do, and you know their address. You've got their telephone number, so you can just pick up the phone and call them. You can, if you've got their cell phone, you can text them. You can send them email. If you gathered the information when it came in, you have everything you need to really crank up your car count. And that's, it's simplicity in motion here. That's what I want everybody to pay attention. It doesn't have to be complicated. Let's just make it easy.
I love it. Simplicity in motion. I'm taking a ton of notes as if I was an extremely important student of yours right now. And I have about, you know, 10 slips of paper here in front of me with all these rambling thoughts. And I have two that I'm curious about, or at least let me tell you one of my thoughts. I wrote down, see an old friend. And as you were telling me about marketing to my, you know, my 500 customers, I kept thinking of a headline on that direct mail piece, you know, love to see an old friend. And that was, you know, because you're talking sincerity, you're talking honesty and trust and relationship. And, you know, and that's what sometimes old friends are about. And then another thought that I had, Ron, is you said an offer. What kind of offer are the kinds of offers that would bring that those additional 500 in?
Well, I think the easiest thing, I'll tell you what not to do, and then we can morph into what to do. So when you're marketing to them, you don't know what's going on with their cars at any one given point in time. So I like to have what I consider, since I was going to say what not to do, let's not go so specialized on, let's say we're going to do a fluid flush. Okay. Or some, transmission flush or something like that. Okay. That's the wrong thing to do, because how many people are going to need that particular service? So that's why oil change coupons and things like that are more prevalent, because it's the one, I guess it's the only commodity that's out there. It's the one thing that if you walked up to anybody that's driven a car for a while, you can ask them, how much is an oil change? They're not scared to go buy it. They know it's kind of simple and easy to do. And so they understand that. But I like, in, you know, to tell you what to do, I'd like to say either do an oil change or what I consider a catch-all coupon. So $25 off of any service that we offer. It makes it a whole lot easy because it doesn't matter if a guy's walking down the street or driving down the street and it's raining and needs windshield wipers, he can use it on windshield wipers. If the oil sticker on his windshield says that it's time, he can use the 25 towards that. If he needs his tires balanced or rotated, whatever it is, he can spend that $25 in your shop. So it makes it easier to do that. Plus it's really almost cold hard cash. It's $25. I like that better than a percentage. You'll save 20% on whatever service you have. Well, I don't want to spend 20% on a $1,000 service. You know, I'd rather you say, I'm going to give you $200 off. That feels better.
Ron, as a headline, for example, we're coming out of winter here in the Northeast. What a headline that says, we're coming out of winter. Come on inside. You may have heard noises in your car and have a vehicle health check. I mean, is an overall vehicle inspection attractive?
I don't believe so. It has to be attached to a reason why. So a vehicle inspection becomes a lot more attractive if you're telling me that spring's right around the corner and the kids are going to be out and playing. So let's make sure your car is safe around there. Now there's a reason why that vehicle inspection becomes important, because a vehicle inspection on its own, something along that line, tells me, I think through the eyes of the consumer that's out there. It says, oh, they're going to find something on my car and this is going to cost me money. So I need more of a reason to spend that. If there's nothing going on with my car that I'm not sure of, you got to give me a good reason to have you look at my car knowing it's going to cost me money. And the kid, keep kids safe. Hey, that's a good reason.
So what are the buzzwords today that that really attract people into the shop?
Family. I'd say family or relationship, rather than a buzzword, I think it has to be more of a feeling. Familiarity. Okay. I mentioned before, we moved from a service economy to an experience economy. So, and what that really does, what that really tells everybody, it's not a matter of you just doing maintenance on a car and then having a transaction. You performed a service, they gave you money for it, and that's it. That's the minimum, by the way. Okay.
So you're really trying to build an experience with that client inside your shop, and you're looking for service differentiation where people are washing cars, putting water bottles inside. I mean, their coffee bar is of the latest and the greatest products. And is that what you mean by an experience economy?
Yes, in part, but it can go so much further than that. Okay. So, well, first off, the bar is set so low right now. There's a lot of shops out there. They're just doing the basics. So when somebody comes in to get their car worked on, and let's say it's a difficult, you had to do a lot of diagnostics on there and nobody was able to fix the thing before, but you spent hours and hours, you fixed the problem, you tackled it, and you present the customer with your chest out like, we fixed it. We got this baby. And, and here's how much it cost. And there isn't a transaction there. To the shop owner, more times than not, they feel very proud and they say, I've got this person for life. They are never going to go anywhere else because we did the job right. But the reality is you did what they paid for. A mentor of mine used to say, don't tell me about the labor pains, just show me the baby. Okay. The shop owner is going to look and say, look, I busted my knuckles. Look how bloody they are and how greasy and the toils I went through to fix that. To the person on the other end, to Joe consumer, look, I paid you for that. That's what you busted your butt. So you charged me more, chances are, because it was a difficult situation. I paid you for it. That's the basics. So it's not what you do. It's what else you do. Okay, you got to make sure that the people not only leave with the car done right, but you want them to leave with a smile on your face. I mean, think of what Disney does. Think of, I guess the easiest way to do it is, I think pretty much everybody's been to Disney World, Disneyland, whatever. Imagine being in Orlando, which is, there's no breeze there because it's in the middle of the state on a 95 degree August day, you know, high humidity. And then you have that afternoon shower where it starts raining like heck. So, and you're toting kids around. You've got them oversugared, overstimulated, overtired. They're just exhausted, dripping in sweat. Now they're dripping in water because it's horrible. And you're doing it for hours after hours after hours. And you get to your car, the most exhausting, what would normally be the most miserable day of your life. And what do you tell all your friends about the experience you had there? It was awesome. I can't wait to go back. Look how clean the park was, how nice the people were, how welcome I felt. And oh, by the way, is Disney the cheapest place on earth to go? No. Every time you walk off a ride, you have to walk through a gift shop and the kids are wanting you to buy stuff. And so it should be the worst experience possible. But Disney has taken it and made it the best experience possible. So how do we take that and create that own little mini Disney world in our shop so people can remember us? Well, do you know what the number one thing is that people say when they walk away from Disney?
I don't know. Could be how clean it was.
Exactly. That's it. Millions of people through there and so clean. If that's the number one thing, we call those things clues, okay? So if that's what Disney does to create that one experience, well, what about the shop? What's it look like? What's it smell like? What are you sitting on while you're in there? What's the experience from the customer service representative or your service advisor or the owner, whoever greets them? Are they feeling like, I found my place? You know, when that door opens, it's like the clouds parting and the sun shining down and the angels start singing. And it's like, wow, this is awesome. I feel really welcome here. This is the cleanest place I've ever been. This is not your normal auto repair shop. And that's just where it starts. And it gets better from there.
Ron, I've been underground at Disney World in Orlando, went to Disney Institute, was lucky enough to be there for a day. We learned one thing that was so interesting is that their customer service premise is look them in the eye and smile from every one of their cast members. And it was really cool to be underground and to see how they do an awful lot of the stuff that's magic up top. Great thoughts, great lessons. Thank you very much. I love where you went with this, Ron. Thanks. Did you ever think 17 years ago marketing would be as important as it is today to a shop owner?
I always thought it was important. I come things from a different way. I look at, you know, if you got enough good quality customers in there, you've got a good safe business. So, you know, over the years, I've started and at one point had 14 different businesses at the exact same time that I created and I was running. And I was able to do that because of my marketing knowledge, because without a customer, you don't have a business. I mean, let's just, you know, that's obvious. If you're going to have a service or sell something without people to sell it to or serve, you got nothing. So for me, it starts there. So marketing is the most important thing. Now, I'm not saying that, you know, the operation side and the profitability and all of that isn't important. And I used to say that because I didn't really understand that. I mean, that wasn't my thing. My thing was always, you know, I'm a marketing maniac. So I know that if I can get you customers, we got a chance. But without customers, if you know you can be the smartest person in the world, have the best tools, the best training, the best techs, the nicest location, the cleanest shop, but without a customer, you don't have a business. So it starts there. So I've always thought that was going to be the most important thing. And you wouldn't, you know, I started this, you know, 21, 22 years ago with the auto repair industry and marketing. You'd think that things would change and people would kind of get the message, because I've been singing the same song that I'm telling you right now, is pay attention to your own customers first. But I still get arguments, and everybody wants to pay more attention to somebody that's never had a transaction with them. They're, you know, instead of marketing to people that know, love, and trust them, they're off chasing after the next customer. So I hope everybody kind of gets that core message here, because this is how it's easy to market. But that part hasn't changed. I've always thought marketing was the most important thing ever.
I love it. Great core message. Would you come back someday and we'll do this again? We'll do part two?
I would absolutely love it. Yeah. Yeah. I'd be excited.
I'm all about that. Ron Ipack, president, repair shop coach. Boy, it was great. Eye-opening. It was lifting for me. I learned a lot. Thanks for being here.
Fantastic. I appreciate the time and market, everybody. That's the important thing.
Hey, thanks, Ron Ipack. Good ideas and a simple approach to growing and keeping customers. For a list of the episode's talking points and Ron's extended bio, see the show notes at remarkableresults.biz/E310. Hey, keep in mind that if you want to find a single subject forum that presents issues and solutions to many trending topics, check out the Town Hall Academy. Find this very powerful aftermarket resource at remarkableresults.biz/academy. Your learning curve never sounded so good.
Thanks for being on board to listen and learn from the premier automotive aftermarket podcast. Until next time.